The next point, which is also important, is that you understand your child's feeding language. What do I mean by that? Let me give an example. So there are some so I have two children. Let me use my children as an example. The youngest is 2, the oldest is 4. She just turned 4. When I had the oldest, I already had it in mind that I was going to start early. I was going to start with the right mindset, and that I was going to be feeding because I wanted her to get all the nutrients. So I went ahead to start with like the basic cereals. I think one of the first cereals I tried was rice cereal, plain rice cereal. And then sometimes I would add some milk in there because she really liked milk. I would also make maybe regular rice with red oil. Sometimes I would make like yam porridge. In the beginning, it was a bit of a struggle because we started... Oh, sorry. Before I even started with rice cereal, I started with pap. I started only with pap. And it was pap and milk. Excuse me. And she fought me and fought me and fought me and fought me. When I say she fought me, it was like tug of war every time I fed her. It was like a tug of war every time I fed her. But you know, I told myself that that's fine. If pap is not what you want today, tomorrow it will be. Next tomorrow it will be. But I came to an understanding that aside from the fact that she was fighting me, I think what she really wanted was pap that had a lot of milk in it. Because like I said, she really liked milk. So I started adding a bit more milk, and she was a bit more receptive to the consistency of the pap and how she liked to take the pap. So we conquered that. Then when I started doing like rice cereals, yam porridge and the rest, I realized that she was not a very big, you know, let the food be tasty kind of person. She wanted food that had almost non-existent taste. It wasn't about it being sweet. It wasn't about it being beautifully spiced or beautifully seasoned and all that. Just plain, boring food. I picked up on that because I would watch her eat a particular meal and devour it. But we struggled with certain other kinds of meals. Now, when I had my second child, my goodness, when I attempted to feed him the way I was feeding his sister, I was throwing away food like no man's business, throwing it away. I began to ask myself that, okay, what exactly does this young man want from me? Because it's the same food I was giving your sister. Why are you giving me a difficult time? I then realized that, Komo, this child actually is not the same child, also has a very different feeding pattern. And his feeding pattern was that he wanted food that was as tasty as an adult would have it. So if I made food for myself and I would add like maybe, let's say I was making yam porridge, for example, and I would add red oil, then I would add just crayfish, and then I would put the yam in. He was not interested in that. He wanted me to put in. He wanted there to be crayfish. Then if I'm going to use ugu, I must use sensitive. Then I would make sure that I add, what's it called? I would add, you know, other spices. He was ready to take, you know, pepper in his food, you know, so he wanted the food to be rich. Meanwhile, his sister, on the other hand, was not interested in rich food. So I learned that early, and I began to ensure that whenever I made meals for him, I made sure that the meals were, you know, very rich in taste, in savory. He didn't like things that were too bland, and didn't like things that were too heavily spiced. So I had to find a balance that was adequate for his age. And mind you, notice that I didn't mention that I was putting salt, because between the ages of 6 years and between the ages of 6 months and 1 year, you want to ensure that you are not using salt. The natural flavorings of the food is enough. Now, another thing that you heard me say, which another thing that I did not say while I was talking, I was not making the food to my taste. Most of the time, we make that mistake. We make food to the taste of the parent. And you are not feeding yourself. You are feeding another individual. It's just like business or when you work in an office. When you do projects, you don't do the projects to the way you like it because you are not submitting the project to yourself or you are not meeting yourself demand. You're meeting the customer's demand and you're meeting your superior's demand or your team lead's demand. So when you do the project, you do it and ask yourself, how would they like it? That is understanding your child's feeding language. How will my child like it? And the only way to know that is by paying close attention every time you feed and ensuring that you are taking notes of the patterns. By the time a child is one, dependent on whether they've gone through teething or any of those things, if you are consistent and you are paying attention to the patterns, by the time the child is one, you will get to the place where you will then see that you've come to understand the language. That language can even include, okay, they like it sweet, so I have to make sure that I use sweet fruits. I have to make sure that I don't use too much spices, you know, or everything has to be smooth. Oh, that's be like water for them. That's fine. There are some children that are not even interested in pureed food. It cannot even afford to be scooped. Everything must, it must be chunky. They must be able to pick it up. So you want to make sure that you avoid issues of choking hazard. But the bottom line is, you need to understand your child's feeding language. You don't understand it, you will continue to struggle to feed that child. And it's best to start early because, like I said, between the ages of 6 months to 1 year, when you understand it, it makes it easier in preparing meals moving forward.